So, oh my God, this Pakistan tweet story.
Yes.
So, the New York Times is reporting, and this has obviously happened, that we all remember Tuesday night was possible apocalypse day. We didn't know if we were going to wake up and find Tehran, you know, irradiated and 9.2 million people gone as a nuclear cloud wafts across the subcontinent. So the deadline was at 8 o'clock. This was a deadline that Trump had set, like, hey, you crazy bastards, reopen the Strait of Hormuz. And then the Pakistani Prime Minister, Shehbaz Sharif, posted on X, hey, you know, we have a diplomatic solution. We really want Iran and the United States to come together and meet in Islamabad and hash things out. We think this is going to work out. And then the U.S. and, well, Iran said, okay, we'll talk. And the U.S. said, okay, yeah, that sounds good. Turns out that the initial time that Sharif posted it, it said on the first version of it, which he then edited, said draft, Pakistan's PM message on X. And a lot of people on social media noticed that the language, the verbiage of this text was very Trumpy. It's like, you know, the diplomacy is going strongly, you know, like no one else really talks like that. So it turns out Donald Trump wrote this draft X, sent it to Pakistan, and asked them to give him cover to say, I can't be seen as asking for diplomacy. I can't be seen as being desperate and realizing that I fucked up. I have to be like seen as being acquiescing to diplomacy.
Right.
And so that's what happened. And it took a little while for this to be noticed that this had happened, but the New York Times found out and confirmed that this is what happened. I mean, Jamal, this has massive implications. I mean, so let's go through some of them, right? I'm sure you have others. Number one, we now know, and more importantly, Iran knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that the whole thing that like I've been thinking, and most of us have been thinking, is that we thought that these two parties were talking past each other. They both, the U.S. and the Iran, think that they've won because they're measuring the war by different metrics. That turns out to be false. In fact, Iran, of course, thought it won. The U.S. knows that Iran has won. That's why Trump did this. He was trying to bring this in for a landing that would save some kind of his dignity. Because Sharif is a derp, that cover got blown, and now he's been completely exposed. The Iranians now know that, like, they hold all the cards, as Trump would say, and they don't have to compromise in any kind of meaningful way. Conversely, this corners Donald Trump, which is a terrifying thing. We know from the Art of War, Sun Tzu, never corner your adversary. You always allow him a graceful exit. So will the Iranians keep him cornered, or will they graciously give him some kind of compromise? And then last, but I don't think least, Pakistan is no longer viewed as a neutral arbiter by Iran. I mean, Iran had good reason to trust the Pakistanis. They've had a cordial relationship for decades. When I went to get my Iranian visa, it was at the Pakistani embassy in Washington, where in the back room, they have an Iran interest section. I mean, so the Iranians are feeling pissed, and they know they've been lied to by the intermediary in Islamabad. The Iranians had posted that they were going to go and to Islamabad this Saturday for talks. Then they deleted that message.
They deleted it.
So, all right. Sorry, that was long-winded, but
you're fine. So I think it was either yesterday's show or the day before where when we brought up Pakistan, I think I mentioned that kind of like Saudi Arabia, that it's unclear where Pakistan falls on this stuff. I mean, if you think of the generals and stuff like that and the relationship that they've had with the United States, it goes back for decades, right? Yeah. And, you know, Pakistan seemingly was double dealing. And once it's during the 12-day war, they would say, we're going to give Iran nukes. But by the same token, it wasn't clear whether they necessarily were in Iran's camp. So Pakistan was always a fudgy nebulous thing to me.
Sketchy dudes.
Yeah, it was always sketchy to me. In regards to what you were saying, yes, I agree with everything that you said. I would add one more thing to it, is that this is not entirely abnormal from the way that Trump deals. So go back to Ukraine, and you can even go back to Syria, and you can go back to the way Trump operates. There was no way to know. Look, I'm of the mind that this is not the U.S.'s dog gone rogue. This is U.S. policy. Sure. And so when they're dealing with the Ukrainians, for example, Donald Trump double deals. He would, in one sense, pretend as if I'm being a peacemaker with the Russians, while simultaneously in the background, hey, I'm going to hit energy infrastructure. I'm going to support terrorist activities in Ukraine. In Russia. I'm going to support them using HIMARS missiles, because any missile that's fired has to be fired by the U.S. That is what was said prior. So this double dealing that's taking place with the Ukrainians is the same double dealing that he's doing with the Iranians. During the 12-day war, Trump is in the middle of negotiations. He attacks the country in the middle of negotiations, or Israel attacks. I think Israel and the U.S. are effectively the same, because I think Israel is a proxy of the U.S. And in this case, Trump approves an agreement, meaning that's his tweet for all intents and purposes.
It's his tweet.
It's his tweet. Pakistan was pushed to do it. And in it is Lebanon is included.
Right.
Meaning for that to be Trump's tweet, Trump would have had to agree Lebanon is included in the deal. And Israel.
And clearly he did agree to that, because
he agreed.
Because he informed the prime president of Pakistan, France, Emmanuel Macron, and Keir Starmer in the UK, who basically, and they confirmed that Lebanon is part of the deal.
Exactly. And so then to turn around and be like, hey man, Pakistan, Lebanon's not included. Okay. Is he lying? Is he double dealing? I would say, yeah.
Both.
I would say this is exactly the same thing that he did in Ukraine. And this is exactly the same thing he did.
A lot more is at stake now, though.
True. But that doesn't stop the behavior.
No.
Right? Like, meaning if I'm able to get away with a particular behavior flaw, and I'm able to do it for years, why would I not do it even when it's a high-risk situation?
He's a very old dog. No new tricks here, right?
Yeah. This is Trump. This is normal Trump, double dealing. Basically, I'm going to say that Lebanon is included. Israel attacks Lebanon, and I'm going to act like Lebanon is not included. Mm-hmm. And then the question
becomes, don't worry, baby. I got your back. It's cool.
But he's betting that Iran doesn't kill the ceasefire over Lebanon. That's his bet.
Well, the ceasefire is done. It's funny that this is being, I mean, that's my view, right? This is being characterized by mainstream media. I'm not sure why. Are they just trying to like prevent everyone from freaking out and running around with their hair on fire? I mean, they're kind of pretending like, you know, a fragile ceasefire takes hold. Jamal, the purpose of the ceasefire was to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. The Strait of Hormuz is not opened. It was opened, as we pointed out yesterday on the show, 10 minutes. Two ships got through. I mean, that's pretty fast, actually. Five minutes each for these giant ships. They must have been like, fucking haul out. Get going.
Let's go.
Get going while the getting's good, right? I mean, they've been stuck there for months. So I don't blame them. But so there's no ceasefire, right? There is no ceasefire.